Yeah. Okay, good evening, everyone. Let's start tonight. We'll stand for this first song, number 86. Great is thy faithfulness, 86. Number 117, King of the Ages. This starts with the refrain, and then we sing the verses, and we end with the refrain again. So 117.
King of the Ages, Almighty God, perfect love, ever just and true. Who will not hear you and bring you praise? All the nations will come to you. Your ways of love have won my heart and brought me joy. And the hope of glory, King. and a great salvation, King of the ages, Almighty God, perfect love, ever just and true. Who will not fear you and bring you praise? All the nations will come to you. The day will come when you appear, and every eye shall see. Then we shall rise with hearts ablaze, with a song we will sing forever. King of the age, Almighty God, perfect love, ever just and true. Who will not hear you and bring you praise? All the nations will come to you.
Good. In 166, I run to Christ. 166. Stand, we'll sing 164. What a friend we have in Jesus. 164.
Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Good evening. Well, I want to thank Brad for the opportunity that he's given me to share with you this evening. It's a real joy. I haven't been able to preach a whole lot since I've been back, but every once in a while the Lord gives me an opportunity. I'm very thankful to be with you. And you guys, does anybody here have any trouble with your prayer life? Anybody here have any trouble with your prayer life? Yeah, that's kind of what I run into too. And so when a month or so ago when Brad asked me to speak, I thought immediately of trying to do a little bit of something on prayer, because people all the time ask us to pray for them, right? Most of us have family. We have either have children, we have friends, we have parents, grandparents, whatever, that we like to regularly pray for. Anybody here have a prayer list that you use? Yeah, some of us have prayer lists, and there's always those people that you always want to pray for. But do you ever get frustrated on what to pray for sometimes? People ask us to pray for them, and a lot of times they have a specific thing that they want us to pray for, but we forget by the time we get home what that specific thing was. What I want to do this evening is show us some things that Paul prays for people that he loves and he loves deeply. And for me, it has been a life-changing thing to where I have some ideas on what to pray for people that I don't have specific things to pray for. And so that's what we want to do this evening. We want to start in Philippians chapter 1 and look at one of the prayers that Paul prayed for some of the people that he loved very, very much. Before I get started with a little introductory stuff on Philippians, let's ask the Lord to bless our evening. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to be your children. We thank you, Father, for the responsibility that you've given us to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another. We thank you, Father, for your word, that it gives us guidance and instruction on how to pray. We thank you, Father, for the Apostle Paul and for the example that he is to us. We pray this evening that as we take these few verses, as we concentrate on them, we pray, Father, that you will expand our vision, expand our ability to bring things before you that will glorify your name. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, of course, wrote the book of Philippians. You know where he was when he wrote it? Yeah, it's one of the prison epistles. The Apostle Paul was in prison. It was written somewhere around 61, 62 AD, sometime in that area, while he was in a Roman prison. In fact, when Paul was in prison at this particular time, he did not know what the outcome was going to be. He could have been killed, and he did not know what the outcome would be, the possible outcome. So he was in a very tentative situation in his life. This book is written to a church that he was involved with, that he had preached to. It was a church in Philippi, and he had a very close relationship, and he had a real love for the people in Philippi. What I found interesting of what kind of a colony Philippi was, or a city Philippi was, it was made up of a lot of people that had served in the Roman government, and there was a whole bunch of soldiers, ex-soldiers, that lived in the city of Philippi. The government of the city of Philippi was similar to the government in Rome. And so the guys, the people that were in this city were hardened soldiers, for a lot. And so those are the kind of people that Paul is writing to, and the people that came to Christ through his ministry there. So he actually is writing this letter as a thank you letter, because these people had supported him. They had helped him. They'd hung in there with him through all of his problems that he had run into and difficult situations. And they had actually even been one of the churches, or the main church, that sent him some support. And so this is a thank you letter to the people at Philippi. I guess to really get what we want to get, I want to get a little bit of context here. So let's move up. I think up on the screen I'm going to have verses 9 through 11, and that's all we're going to look at this evening. But I'd like to start and give a little context, start up here in verse 6 and look at that. Verse 6, anybody like verse 6 in Philippians chapter 1? Anybody have that as a favorite verse? I just love that verse. Being confident of this very thing, that He, Christ, who began a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you glad for that verse? He began a good work in us. He began drawing us to Himself. He did that before the foundation of the world. And He's promised in this verse that He will not stop until He either comes for us or until we go to Him. He's going to work in our lives and continue to work. I'm so thankful for that. It's one of those really encouraging verses. So He is confident of their state, that they are in Christ. Verse 7. But as it is right for the time to... My eyes are not working properly because I got a little bit of a problem, so let me go again. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in chains, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness as how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. He calls them their partners. He loves them. He's communicating very clearly that He has a deep relationship with these people, and He really wants to be an encouragement and thank them for what all that they have done. So let's just jump into it, and let's start with as Paul is in prison, and let's start with the first section there where it says, Paul prays for others even though why he is in prison. He has some specific prayer requests that he's going to give out, or some specific things that he's going to pray for them because he loves them. And he starts in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." Where's Paul? Where is he when he writes this? He's in prison. Is he praying to get out of prison? Who's he praying to? Who's he praying for? It's a selflessness. He's not thinking of his own situation in this particular. He's not asking them to pray for him that he get released. He's thinking of them. And he's praying for them. He has them on their heart, and he really wants them. And he says, "I'm praying that your love may abound more and more." That your love may abound more and more. The kind of love that he's expressing here, and the kind of love that he's talking about, is that agape love that is a selfless love, giving the best for others. And he's praying for them that their love would grow, abound more and more. That word abound is kind of interesting in that it's pouring into a cup that it just overflows. And he's praying that their love will abound more and more. He wants their love to increase more and more. There's another way that word abound is used. It's used for a flower that's just a bud. And when it begins to mature, you see beautiful petals that come out, and it grows and it blossoms. And he's praying that their love will abound, will grow, will blossom and become more and more and more and more. And think about it. These people had been loving on Paul. These people had been loving on him, and he still prays that they would actually, their love, their selflessness would grow more and more and abound in them. Anybody have any trouble with the love aspect in your life? Anybody have any trouble of loving some of those unlovely people? Would you like people to pray that for you, that your love would abound more and more, that your love would grow so that you would be able to pour your love out on others rather than on self? If you ever pray for me, yes, you can pray that, because I feel like I am lacking in love. And that's one, and Paul knows, he understands people. He understands men. He understands himself. He understands that our love needs to grow for one another, and our love needs to grow for God. How is it going to grow? How can we grow our love? I pray that your love may abound still more and more in what? Two things. In knowledge and in all discernment. There are several New Testament words that are translated knowledge. This word for knowledge is translated, it's a precise and correct knowledge, a full understanding of the truths. I think it's talking that that they would grow in their understanding of the character of God. If I remember right, Brad taught through the attributes of God here. Am I right, Brad? He wants the Philippi people to understand the character of God. And if you understand the character of God, it helps your love to grow. When you understand how much he loves you, when he understands how much of a God of love he is, it helps that to grow in us to be more loving for others. Then discernment. He's praying for them that their love would grow through the knowledge of him, and that they would grow into all discernment. That after you acquire the knowledge, after you understand God and begin to get a hold on his character, you'll do the right thing. You'll be able to discern, you'll be able to understand what is the moral and what is the right thing. And we want to do what's right, right? We want to do, and I'm sure that these believers in Philippi wanted to do the right thing. And so Paul is saying, you need to learn to love over and above what you normally love. The only way that you're going to get that love is to learn more of me and to get into me and find out the God, what the God of Israel is like. And then you are able to have discernment and to make the right decisions and do the right thing. So that's where he is. In the beginning of asking people to, this is how he is praying for his Philippine brethren. Then he prays in the first part of verse 10 that you may approve things that are excellent. Approve is a word that examines or tests metals to find out if it's real silver, or find out if it's real gold, or if it's a mixture. We always laugh in the Philippines when almost every store that we go into there, they have a silver store that sells silver jewelry and silver earrings and necklaces and bracelets and all that kind of stuff. And they all have a big sign out, 97.6% pure. I'd like to run a test sometimes and see if it's really what it is. Because Kathy has bought some of those earrings that say that they are 96% pure. And she has one really sensitive ear that if there is something that is impure, her ear tells her very quickly that it's not. And she has bought some there that have told her very quickly that it is not. So that's what he says, that's what he's saying, that he is praying for these people to be able to approve, to examine, to make sure the doctrines that they have been taught, the doctrines that they are learning, the things that they are learning are correct, are right, and they're not tainted, and they're not mixed up with other stuff. So he's praying that they have that ability to approve those things that are correct. That you may approve the things that are excellent. I'm not sure. Does the New American Standard also say excellent, or do they say approve the things that are best? Some of you got a New American Standard. In my Bible here, it's saying excellent. In the NIV, it's talking about the best. That you may approve the things that are the best and that are that have a purpose. Interesting how this word is used a little bit in different literature. It's used in shipping. in a ship, when they have cargo in one place that's a little bit heavy and it causes the ship to tip one way or another, it's used to approve, it's used to make excellent, to move that cargo so that the ship is kept on an even keel and it doesn't waver like that. And so he wants us to be able to have a straight and an even keel and going in the right direction that we ought to go. So he's praying that they have the correct discernment. He's praying that they have the knowledge of God, that they can approve and they can see what is the best thing to do. And that's how he prays. And there's a lot of us that struggle with knowing what the best is to do. There's a lot of good things that we can do, aren't there? Isn't there? There's a lot of good things that you can do in this church, in this body. There's a lot of good things that we can do. But what Paul is praying is that they will not just do the good things. They will not see just the good things, but they'll do that which is best. Friends, you can pray that for me, that God will help me to see, help me to discern, help me to understand what is the best, the excellent, and keep things on an even keel, going the way that we should. He goes on. He's got another prayer request. He's got another thing that he prays for them, that you approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. That you may be sincere. Or, I think it's in the NIV, it's pure. Freedom from falsehood. Freedom from falsehood. That they will be pure, that they'll be sincere, that they'll be free from falsehood. Falsehood. I think the way at times this has been used, there were times when the potter would make a pot from clay and then he would put it in the kiln and kill it, heat it up, and it'd be a little bitty crack. But in order to hide that little bitty crack, he put wax in it. So you had to put a light on it and look up at it and see if it's real or if it's got the wax in it. That's the word pure. Is it pure? Is it made correctly? Is it done right? And so his next prayer is that they will not be plastic. Well, that's a Filipino thing. That you won't be hypocritical. That you won't claim to be something that you're not. That you won't be a hypocrite. That's kind of the idea that he's saying. That you won't look like something that you're not. That's easy to do, isn't it? I've heard of some Sunday school teachers that get up, and they really say, hey, you need to be reading your Bible every day, having a quiet time, praying and spending time in the Word. But they don't do it themselves. So we need to, Paul prays for these people that they will be sincere, that they'll be pure, and that they won't be plastic, they won't be hypocritical. You can pray that for me too. I think that's something we could pray for one another, that we have the trueness to us, that we should. He continues on his prayer request there, and he says that they will be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ, that they'll be without offense or they'll be blameless, that they would lead a life that would not cause others to stray or be offended in some way, that they would do what they ought to do and they wouldn't be an offense to other people. So that's another thing that he says that they should do. So he's talking about being a very good witness and not doing things that might be offensive. When I was growing up, I was a little boy, and I went to the store with an adult, and we went through the checkout. This adult had bought several things, and the checker either put the wrong price in for almost nothing, or he forgot, or the checker forgot to put the price in. So I was watching the adult, and I saw that the adult kind of smiled, took their bag, and walked out and didn't say a word, even though the individual knew that there had been an error made, but it was an error in their favor. It was an error in the favor of the person that bought the item. He didn't say a word. You know what that did for me as a little boy? Oh, it's all right, as long as it's for my advantage. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, if I can get ahead a little bit, that's all that really matters. That's what went into my head. Actually, that's not being blameless, is it? So we have to be very careful on how we live. We are leading. Everybody here has somebody that is under you or somebody that you are an influence to. And we need to pray for each other that we will not do things that will cause others to stumble, that we will live blameless. And that's what Paul was praying, that these ex-military men would not fall back onto their old ways, that they would continue to go in a right, in a blameless way. So that's some of the things that Paul was praying for these people, that he wouldn't be offensive, and until the day of Jesus Christ. And we come to the end of what he's praying. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. That he wants us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. I think I forgot my clicker some. Anyway, filled with the fruits of righteousness. It's the last request here. Again, this being filled, I found it interesting is that it's not in the present continuous tense of the verb. It's not in the simple past of the verb. It's in the perfect tense, which means we have been, or they had been given, the fruit of righteousness. It's also in the passive form of the verb, which means they did nothing to get it, but it was given to them by an outside force. In fact, in a sense here, he's praising them. You have been filled with the fruit of righteousness, and you can live according to the fruit of righteousness. Some people equate that to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. I don't know. I found a couple other places in Scripture where it talked about the fruit of righteousness. And so I wanted to look at those. And I looked at it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields its peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It has something to do with peace, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Another place that I found the fruit of righteousness in Scripture was in James chapter 3, verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Is sown in peace of them that make peace. So this fruit, the righteousness that we have been given, the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us through our faith in Jesus Christ, he's praying that that fruit, that that peace will flow out of them, will be abiding in them, and they'll have that fruit of righteousness. Pretty cool thing to pray, don't you think? Don't you think it would be a pretty cool thing to pray? And I would love to have that too. None of this stuff that Paul is preaching about and praying about is possible without the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. None of it without the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, only through him, for what purpose? For what purpose? What is the end? What's the purpose of this? To the praise of the glory of God. To the glory and praise of God. That as these things are instilled in their life and they begin to apply these things that Paul is praying for them through the grace of God, that that God will be glorified in and through them and in their lives. So the praise to the glory of God, an expression of approval and admiration, that as we have these characters in our life, that we will be ones that will glorify God. So, examples of Paul's prayer. Here's some good things to pray for each other. As a church, for our family members, for people that you don't know for sure how you should pray. Number one, pray specifically that our love would grow more and more and abound, and it would flower out, and others would see that love. You can pray that for me anytime. Secondly, let's pray that we will only want to do what is best and not just get by. It's so easy to do just what we can do to get by. You know, if I can just do enough just to get by. No, we want to do the best. We want to be the best so that others will come to know Christ as their personal Savior. So let's pray for each other that we will discern what is the best, what is the excellent. Thirdly, pray that we will live in an unoffensive manner so that others cannot point their finger at us and say, aha, you say this, but you do this. It's easy to be that way, isn't it? But let's pray for each other that we're not the hypocritical, that we're not hypocritical, but that we are what we say that we are, that we are what we are. And then pray that we'll be truthful, that we will be truthful and sincere with each other, that we won't taint the truth, that we'll be sincere in our love, in our expression, in our working with each other, and that the fruit of righteousness will flow out of our lives. That fruit comes along with peace when you know you're walking with Christ. When you realize who and what He is and what He has done for us, there's a peace, and that's part of the fruit of righteousness. Let's pray that for each other, hey? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the Apostle Paul. We thank You, Father, for his teaching us. And I pray, Father, that we will be a people that are abounding in love, that we will be a people that are sincere, that are not being what we shouldn't be, but that we are looking to do the excellent, the best. I pray, Father, that we will walk as You walk and that we might bring glory to Your name. Thank You, Father, for the challenges from Paul and for the challenges for us to pray one for another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think we're early tonight.